Well, here we are on the fifth Sunday of Lent. In Lent, sorry, not of Lent. I sometimes get that wrong. And some Lenten seasons, we end up, it seems, spending most of the time talking about death and dying. And this year, this season, this version of the liturgical calendar hasn't had that too much until today. And today, we are going to be talking at least a little bit about what that might mean. And that's where the sermon title comes from. What do you mean, dies? And that comes out of our gospel lesson. In the gospel according to St. John, we read, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Now, first of all, let's keep in mind, we're not necessarily talking about botany here. I'm not entirely sure what the process is for a seed that goes into the ground and then turns into something else. I don't know if the seed actually dies or what it does, which is, of course, the least of our concerns in this passage. What Jesus is saying is that the seed needs to do something to turn into something else, to be transformed into something else. Because that's a seed's purpose. I mean, some seeds are reasonably attractive, but the purpose of a seed is not to put it on the mantelpiece and look at it just because it's pretty. A seed's purpose is to propagate. A seed's purpose is to be placed into the ground in some way and then watered or fertilized or whatever it might need to grow to become something else. And in this particular case, Jesus is talking about seeds that grow into more things, because not all seeds do, of course. I don't know a whole lot about gardening and such, but I do know that if you plant a carrot seed, you get a carrot out of it. You don't get many carrots, at least not that I've ever heard. But if you plant a pea, you get a pea plant. It has lots of peas on it. In other places, Jesus talks about seeds that fall into good soil and produce 30 or 60 or 100-fold what has been there. Which is what grain seems to do. Through the wonder of germination and growth, you get way more than you started with. It's an extraordinary thing. But the seed in this image has to die. And whether it actually dies or not is kind of irrelevant. It's no longer a seed. It may as well have died. And for us to be transformed, to produce what we've been created and called to do, we need a transformation that is as significant as that, as if we have died. And for some of us, this is obvious. And I've spoken of my own story more than once, I think, here. Probably a lot more than once. Hopefully not so many times you're tired of it. Hopefully it has some connection with what we're talking about. And in my case, the transformation from who I was into who I am is as significant almost as if I had died. If you talk to anyone who knew me when I was, say 13 or 14 up until my middle 20s, and then show them where I am now, they could be excused for thinking I'm a different person altogether, that there's some mistake. No, there must be another Barry you're talking about. Because in my case, the transformation was dramatic. It was as if that part of me had died and was gone forever. Although obviously parts of it still continue on. I didn't turn into something completely different any more than you plant a pea plant and you get a carrot out of it. The transformation is still held within what it essentially is. And I'm glad for that because I learned how to sing in those times. Glad I didn't have to leave that behind. And many other good things were there. But the transformation was still dramatic and profound. And we all like those stories of people who have come from one thing and have been dramatically transformed into something else, from a life of homelessness or crime or whatever it is, into someone who is now a productive and happy member of society. And sometimes, for those of you, and I'm sure there are more than one here who grew up in the faith, grew up in a reasonably stable home and never had that need to have that dramatic a transformation, you may find yourself thinking, well, but what about me? People who knew me when I was 15 or 16 would know me now, because when I was 15 or 16, I was a decent human being, and I have continued to grow in that as opposed to others. Well, the important thing about the transformation isn't the transformation itself. It's the willingness to be transformed. It's the willingness to follow Jesus wherever that might be. For some of us, it's a dramatic transformation. For some of us, the call to follow Jesus has led actually to dying. People who have put themselves in places of tremendous danger because God has called them to be there haven't always survived. And in that case, what you mean dies means to die. But very few of us are called to that physical death, but all of us are called to follow Jesus, no matter what. To be willing to undergo a transformation as dramatic as dying, a transformation that changes us entirely. We like stories, and we like listening to people who have been called out of the squalor of poverty or whatever it might be, who've been called from a life of degradation into a life that glorifies God. And we think, that's amazing. I wish I could be like that. Is the transformation from being a criminal to not being a criminal that much more dramatic than the transformation from being a gossip to being someone who isn't a gossip? I don't think so. Transformation is transformation. The willingness that we have to be transformed, to enter into the transformation that Jesus has said we need, that's the key. Because our willingness to do whatever it is that we're called to do, and our willingness to be transformed from the inside out, in a very real sense, is a kind of death. It's a death to self. It's a death to saying that we know what's best, that we get to decide everything about ourselves. And when we leave that behind, we're leaving behind a significant part of what makes us people. We're exhorted more than once in the Bible to put to death parts of ourselves, put to death the sinful nature. That language isn't chosen at random. It's to help us see how important it is and how significant it is. And our willingness to be transformed, our willingness to become that seed, to be turned into something that is completely different. It's that willingness that matters. Because the ultimate transformation is entirely in God's hands, it's not ours. When I entered into the transformation that I'm still being transformed, as we all are, I didn't know where I was going to end up. I thought I was going to be a missionary somewhere. Well, this isn't a mission field. I know, sometimes we talk about the mission fields everywhere and all that. This is not what I was thinking of back then. I didn't think I would ever be preaching in English. Does that mean I missed the boat somewhere? No, it means that I didn't know what I was going to be transformed into. But my willingness to be transformed is what made the difference. My willingness to say, this is where I think I'm going, but wherever I go is more important than going where I think I should be. And that's a kind of death. It's a death to ambition. It's a death to our own plans. Sometimes it's a death to the expectations that we place on ourselves, or perhaps that other people have placed on us. That's what we mean by dying. Our willingness to die, whether that means a physical death or not, our willingness to be completely transformed into someone completely different than who we were before, but with still all of who we were before, only more so. It's that willingness that allows us to bear fruit that's immensely beyond what we might expect. When I entered into the transformation process, I didn't think I would stay in Canada. And yet my influence, through working at a college and a seminary, my second and third and fourth hand influence through talking to parents of people who are now all around the world is so much more than I could ever have done on my own. So I was sort of right. The gracious God has given me some insight into exactly what I've had a hand in creating, if you will, through teaching and preaching. But what made all that happen was a willingness to get out of the way and let God do the transforming work that he has wanted to do and said he would do. One of Heather's aunts, her Aunt Viola, who actually gave the toast to the bride at our wedding, is a wonderful woman, fascinating. She was a missionary in Peru for quite a while. She left to go to Peru in the early 50s. And that's a transformation. That's a willingness to die in a way that most of us don't have to face. In the 50s, going to another country meant being cut off from your family. And if you're running away from your family, I guess it made a lot of sense, but Viola certainly wasn't. She loved her family and still does. But when she went there in this lengthy trip involving trains and boats and divesting yourself of your possessions as you move your way along, getting things into barrels. I think there were even real barrels back then that would meet you in the other part of the world. And she was a missionary with Wycliffe. So it's not like she went to Lima to minister to people who were just like her, only spoke another language. She ended up in the mountains of Peru looking for a tribe that didn't speak English at all, that had no written language, where she would go and learn the language, develop an alphabet for that language, then translate scripture into that language so she could teach it back to them. In isolation, far from home. I don't even know if you could phone from Peru to Canada back then. I'm sure you could. Probably cost you as much as a house. You sent letters. You were out of connection with your family. It was a deep desire to follow God that would have you do that. Well, her sister, Lorene, is my mother-in-law. And she was transformed, if you will, into the wife of a minister in primarily small towns through Canada. And I suppose you could look at the two and say, well, Viola, now there's someone who did this wondrous thing, and Lorene, well, she just got married. And yet, a transformation is a transformation, and a willingness to be transformed is all that God calls us to. Do you think that for these two sisters, their only desires were what they ended up doing? Of course not. They had all kinds of ambition. They're immensely talented women. They were then, they are now, in their 80s. They could have done all kinds of things. And yet they followed God in particular ways into the isolation of the mountains of Peru, into the isolation of small town Ontario and small town Alberta. A willingness to be transformed, a willingness to follow Jesus is all that he asks. And when they provided that, they were transformed into the women of God they are now, both of whom in their separate ways are examples to me and everyone who knows them. Extraordinary women in both ways. And because they were willing to do that, because they were willing to die to their own ambitions, to their own expectations, they followed God into places where they could be tremendously fruitful. If you want to look at it, Lorene's decision to get married to a minister who would stay in small town places led directly into my effectiveness as a preacher and as a teacher because of who I married, her daughter. I remember my mother once saying to my father, well, my father related this story. He was apparently having a tough time with, you know, he was a smart person, but through the limitations of experience and such, you know, he worked for Canada Post for his whole life and, you know, volunteered in the church and things. And he sort of wondered, you know, was it really worth it? He said, my mom looked at him and said, but look, we had four wonderful boys. And who knows what they'll do? How many people have followed God into a relationship, a loving relationship, where they have raised children who have changed the world? Or have raised children who have produced grandchildren that have changed the world? Who's most important there? The world changer? Or the parents or the grandparents? You can't figure that out. There's no calculus that makes that make sense. Everyone who follows God, who is willing to be transformed, whatever that might mean, is fruitful because that's what God has promised. Our willingness to be transformed includes a willingness to die. To die to our ambitions, to die to perhaps what we always wanted to do, because what we end up doing is more important. And the great thing about it is that it's more satisfying. And when we look back in our lives and we say, well, at one point I wanted to do that, but I'm so glad I'm here. Doesn't work that way for everyone. But it seems to be the norm for those who have chosen to follow Jesus. We need to be willing to die. We don't have to die. We have to be willing to be transformed. And in that willingness, God will create us again into the people that we were first created to be, to do the things that only we can do because we are uniquely placed in this wonderful world. And that's what it means by dying. Not just dramatic martyrdom, although that's the call of some. For most of us, it's the call to be willing to be transformed day after day, to become ever more the people we were created to be, to ever more do what only we can do because of who we are, through a God who loves us, loved us enough to come and die for us, and loves us enough to transform us as well. Amen.